Okay, so we'll get started. Let me just close the door here because it's easier to concentrate.
We're staying in Kolobasso, right?
Yeah, we're in Kolobasso, and if you recall, we have a machlokes as to whether or not the Mishnah reflects the shita of Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Basar Of is only the Rabbanon, right, or the shita of the Chachamim of Rabbi Akiva, that Basar Of is Doraisa. Now, if we assume, for argument's sake, and this is the shita of Ravashi and also Abaye, that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Akiva, which means that Basar Of Becholv is only the Rabbanon,
right. Then
the question arises as to whether or not Basar Of, as far as this Gzered Rabbanon, is an Iser Bishel. If you read the Mishnah and translate it literally, it says Kol HaBasar Asur Levashel V'Cholav. Now, if Kol HaBasar includes Of, which it certainly does, then the Mishnah, in its straightforward interpretation, is telling me that you're not allowed to cook chicken with milk, which is fine if you hold that chicken is Doraisa. But if you hold that our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, which means that Of is only Drabbanon,
right,
how far did Drabbanon go with this Gzera? Did they go all the way? Did they include Of in the Iser of Bishel as well? So if you'll take a look for a moment on the pages that you photocopied, you'll see that there's a Rashba, which is in the second paragraph, and he says that Asur Levashel, when it says in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to be Mevashel, it means Asur Levashel vi Asur Lechel Ka'amar. El Dinokat Lishna Dekra Dixiv Lo Sevashel Gdi. And basically the Rashba is interpreting the Mishnah the way probably intuitively we would have interpreted the Mishnah. Namely that the Mishnah, although it singles out Bishel, but certainly includes Achil as well. So if we want to formulate the Rashba this way, we would say even Bishel was included in the Iser Derabbanan of Basar Of Becholov. And why does the Mishnah mention Bishel? And he says because of Lishna Dekra. The Mishnah, and this is a general rule in Mishnayis, the Mishnah wants to follow the scriptures, the Torah Shmichsav. And since in Torah Shmichsav it says Lo Sevashel, therefore the Mishnah says Asur Levashel. But just like the Torah in Lo Sevashel Gedi refers not just to Bishel but also to Achila, so to the Mishnah when it says Asur Levashel is referring to Achila as well. Then we have the Ritva. The Ritva and the Ran as well, they interpret it that the Mishnah wants to tell us that even if you cook and you have no intention of eating that mixture, so you have chicken and milk being cooked together in a pot, and you're not going to eat that mixture, even that's prohibited. Meaning that we're not learning Bishel as a preparatory stage, a preliminary stage that's going to lead up to Achila, and that really what the Rabbanan are worried about is that you might eat this combination, but Bishel is only being mentioned here sort of because of the Lishna Dekra, but rather the Mishnah wants to tell you just that Bishel itself, independent of Achila, and even if the Bishel is not going to lead up to Achila, that too is included in the Iser Derabbanan of Basar Of Becholov. So the main difference between the Rashba and the Ritva is the following. The Rashba wants to suggest that when the Rabbanan prohibited Of, what they really were interested in is prohibiting Achila. However, since the Torah prohibits, in the case of Behema, Bishel as well, therefore the Rabbanan included Bishel in the Iser. The Ritva and the Ran, on the other hand, are saying no. It's not that Bishel is a nachschlepper. Once they wanted to prohibit Achila, they wanted to prohibit Bishel as well. No, Bishel stands on its own two feet, and the Rabbanan are very concerned lest the person cook Of b'cholav, that's going to lead to cooking behema b'cholav, and therefore even bishul itself on its own is prohibited. In the case of the Rashba, bishul was sort of prohibited only as a secondary kind of isa. The real primary goal and the target of the Chacham is to make sure you don't eat this mixture, because if you eat this, you can eat basar behema b'cholav. Why did the Mishnah go out of its way to mention bishul when it's a secondary iser? The answer is because the Mishnah was following the lead of the Torah. But most important here is the Shitas of Rambam. The Rambam holds that the iser of basar of is only achila, and bishul was not included in the iser derabbanan, which is going to be very difficult for us when we read the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says kol basar asa levashel v'cholav, and that's the Magid Mishnah that you'll see here on the bottom of your page number Gimel. Then when it says osel levashel, it means osel lechol. So we're really going from one extreme to the other, whereas the Ritva and the Ran want to say that osel levashel is a chiddush. The Rabbanan want to isolate bishul in and of itself as an independent isur. The Rambam, on the other hand, which is the other extreme, is going to completely exclude bishul from the isur of basar of b'cholav. And in the middle, between the two polar extremes, we have the Shitas HaRashba, where the Rashba, on the one hand, maintains, like the Ran and the Ritva, that the Iser includes Bishul as well, but only as a secondary Iser, because they were afraid that Bishul might, and generally does, lead to Achil, because why do you cook something unless you're going to eat it? You know, this is not a course in culinary arts. And therefore we assume that from bishul he's going to come that close to achila, and we're really worried about achila. Actually, the Mishnah says the Rashba should have said also lechol, because that's the primary iser, and that's the reason why the Chacham want to keep you away from oaf, make sure that you don't cook it. But nevertheless, the Mishnah uses the language of lo sevashel to follow the lead of the Torah. But be that as it may, in a certain sense, the Rashba stands midway between two polar extremes. We have the Ritva and the Ran on the one hand, who see bishul as a primary iser unto itself, has nothing to do with achila. The Rabbanan don't want to see and tolerate a bishul of oaf. That's what they want to get rid of. They want to wipe it off the face of the earth. On the other extreme, you have the Rambam Shita, who says that when the Mishnah says osel levashel means osel lechol, put an X through the word levashel and write in lechol, and there is no iser bishul of oaf b'cholav. So next time, you know, you're working in a non-Jewish restaurant and they're cooking chicken and milk together, you can stir the pot, according to the Rambam, because that was never included in the Rabbanan prohibition of basar of b'cholav. And on the other extreme, we have, and right in the middle between the Ran, who has bishul as a primary iser, and the Rambam, who doesn't have bishul at all, we have the Rashba, who agrees that bishul is aser, but not because of bishul, but because of achil, as a preliminary stage to bishul. And the most difficult thing about the Rambam is how to interpret the Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah uses the word levashel, and you're just crossing it out, and you're putting in its place lechol. And if you take a look in the brackets, he says here that the hadinaka kra lishna de bishul gabi iser achila ayin lekamon. Fine, okay. Habach docha the kra nakat loshin bishul lesser gam achila v'dochik linko lishna de bishul lesser rak achila. He says that first of all, the word bishul doesn't mean achila, and secondly, in the Torah, the word bishul means bishul. And that's exactly what the Doraisa Iser is. It's an Iser Bishul. So why would the Mishnah use the word Bishul, which means Bishul, and it means, and the Rambam says it means Achil.
Well, it does one time. You know, Achil Doraisa. I think that's the limud of Achila is from one of those Los Avashos.
Right, but again, the word Bishul doesn't, I mean, it might also indicate Achila, but you can't exclude Bishul. Bishul is one of the three Lavin. Now the Mishnah used the word Bishul, and the word Bishul doesn't mean Bishul? That's very strange. The Torah means Bishul, but the Rabbanan don't, using that word for oaf, don't mean Bishul. Yeah.
It seems to me the major problem is that there are three separate lavin involved here of bishul and achila and hana, and they're each a separate lav.
Right.
So, and that's where the rabbanon have their problem, because normally speaking, they would just make oaf is kein basar, And it would cover everything, but it doesn't come from one lav. So did they make three separate lav derabbanan, or they only made one lav derabbanan?
Right, so the Rambam is saying they only asr achim. But the question is, what do we do with the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that Bishol is also. So that's why I wanted to show you the Shach over here. Take a look. The Shach says that the Tana Kolal Gam Bishol, why did the Tana mention the word Bishol when, according to the Rambam, we're only talking about Nisra Achila? The answer is because included in the word Bishol is not just Oaf, but also Behema as well.
Right.
And in the case of Behema, there is an Isra Bishol. So, Cave under Basar Behema, Asr Gam Bishol. So you read the Mishnah L'chatzoyim, so to speak, you know, L'seirikin, the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says Osa kol ha-basar osa levashel b'cholov, it means the following. If it's basar do raisa, which means basar behemah, then osa levashel. If it's basar drabanan, which is oaf, then it means osa lech. Again, it's not the simplest or smoothest way of interpreting the Mishnah, but that's the Shitas Haram. The Pri Chodesh wants to suggest the following, that since it says in the Torah Lo Sevashel three times, and one of those Lo Sevashels is a reference to Achila, and therefore the word Bishol in the Torah means Achila, and Achila alone, right? Because one of the three Bishols is Achila. Therefore the Tana of our Mishnah uses that same word Bishol, but what it really means is Achila. So of the three Bishols, let's say the second one, the middle one, is referring to Achila. Again, I'm just throwing that out. Therefore that Mishnah uses the word Bishol as it appears in the second of the three Pesukim, the middle Pasuk. And in the middle Pasuk of those three Pesukim, the word Bishol that the Torah refers to, the Torah uses, is referring to Achila.
Right.
And the Prima Gadim says that Levashel Almanas Lechol Ka'amar, that when the Mishnah uses the word Bishol, it's indicating the intention of the person. The intention of the person is to eat it. And therefore the Mishnah uses the word Levashel, but that's really just the preparation for Achila. And in the second interpretation, the Prima Gadim says the Mishnah goes out of its way to use the word Bishol because Enochinami, even the Rama would agree that you're not allowed to cook Oaf B'cholov because of Marasani. So even though that's not an Ikar Iser, it's a Marasayadik Iser, we're going to see later on that Simonim and other things, you know, work Fakera and remove Marasayim, but nevertheless the Mishnah wants to indicate that you should not be cooking chicken and milk because somebody might think you're cooking meat and milk together. But the whole upshot of this discussion is that according to the strict Iser of Basar Of B'Cholav, the Rabbanan, the Ramam Shita is that it's only an Iser Achila and not an Iser Ish. Right. You might throw along Maris Ayin, but okay. Then if you take a look at the Teferis Yaakov, you will see, and that's over here, that the Rambam might be Modeh, that although La Halacha there's no Iser Bishol in Ov, but nevertheless there are Shitos that would maintain that there's an Iser Bishol in Ov B'cholov, and that is Rav Ashi. Why? Because Rav Ashi was interested in interpreting the Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva. If you recall, we discussed the great length on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, and in order to do so, he wanted to read the Mishnah in its simple, straightforward way to refer to Bishol. But Lahalacha, we don't paskin like Rav Ashi, but rather we paskin that there's no Iser Bishol in Basar Of. That's the Shita of the Rambam Lahalacha. Now notice that he mentions here that according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Bishol is mutter without a question in the case of Basar Of. In fact, Rabbi Yossi Aglili went a step further and he allowed even Achila of Basar Of Bechol. We don't go as far as Rabbi Yossi Aglili is concerned to be Matir Achila, but we do accept Rabbi Yossi Aglili to be Matir Bishol. That's the Shita of the Rambam.
Well, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, then if achil is mutter,
right,
then only bishul is aser?
No, kol shekein bishul is mutter.
So then what is aser? Nothing's aser.
Nothing's aser.
Okay.
Nothing's aser. And since Rabbi Yossi HaGlili doesn't have any Isur, and the Gemara is going to tell us later on in the Perek that in Rabbi Yossi HaGlili's shtetl, you know, in his shtut, they actually ate basar of pechol. They ate chicken with milk. You know, that might shock you today because we're so used to chicken and milk being milchings and fleishings. So at least we can accept Rabbi Yossi HaGlili to be makel as far as bishul is concerned. Okay. So Rav Ashi again, Lishitaso, holds that the Iser of Of Becholov is an Iser Bishul. What moves Rav Ashi to maintain that there's an Iser Bishul in Of Becholov? And the answer is because Rav Ashi does not derive the Iser Achila from the repetition of Lo Savashal Gediva Chalev Imo. Rav Ashi has a different limud, a different Yalfusa to derive the Iser of Achilas Bosu B'chol meaning Bosu Behema. And he derives from the Pasuk Lo Sochal Kol Toeva. And you may recall that we mentioned in the past the Marcheshes.
Yes.
The Marcheshes says that how does Lo Sochal Kol Toeva refer to Bosu B'chol? What makes Bosu B'chol Toeva? I mean, after all, the Bosu is Mutta, the Cholav is Mutta. The answer is because the Bishul itself was awesome.
Right, it creates a Toeva.
So obviously the precondition for the Isra Achila according to Rav Ashi is the violation of the Isra Bishul. It's because of the Bishul that you have an Isra Achila. And therefore it's nonsensical, it's impossible to isolate the Isra Achila on its own without an Isra Bishul. So the Rav Ashi would certainly maintain that the Isra Drabonin and Oaf would have to be all inclusive. It would be not just achilah but bishul, because without bishul there is no achilah. That was the Marcheshes.
Right.
Now, in the third paragraph, I just want to point out to you that going back to the Chachmei Sfarad, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran,
right,
that they insist that there's an Isur bishul in Basar Ov. And that's the simple, straightforward reading of our Mishnah. However, there is a sefer called the Sefer Abatim, and he quotes the Yesh Min HaGdolim, and you'll see that bolded over there. Do you see that? Derabanan Asru Of Bechol Gam BeBishul VeHana. Nobody has mentioned, nobody has whispered a word about Hana until we get to the Yesh Min HaGdolim quoted in the Sefer Habatim.
This is not Torah Sabayis or anything.
No, this is a much later sefer.
Yeah.
Torah Sabayis is the Rashba.
That's the Rashba, yeah.
And he says that if you go as early as the Urayim seems to also insist that the Rabbanon prohibited Bishul, and although he doesn't spell out anything about Hana, but some of the Achronim apparently learned that according to the Urayim there's not only an Iser Bishul but an Iser Hana as well. The Rambam, on the other hand, as we mentioned before, holds that Basar Chayav Yof is only Derabbanon, and it's Mutter B'Bishul U'Bahana. It's only Asur B'Achila, because we're afraid that he might come to eat Basar Of B'Cholov. Now, the question is, why is it that Derabbanon are only interested in the Iser Achila and not in the Iser Bishul, and they're not worried about the fact that if you allow cooking Of Becholov, you might come to violate the Iser of Bishul Of, excuse me, Bishul Behema Becholov. So what I want to share with you here is a Chasdei David, and this you'll find on the bottom right column of page 2. Do you have such a Chasdei David?
Yeah.
Okay. The Chasdei David was Rav David Pardo, and he wrote a super commentary on the Tosefta, and that's called Chasdei David. His name is Rav David. And he writes that why is it that we're so focused on Achila of Bas V'chol? Why is that our main, you know, we find that so repulsive, so, you know, unacceptable and intolerable? And he says the following, that if you violate the Iser Achila of Basar B'Cholov, then the Torah says you get Malkus. However, if you violate the Iser Hanah, then you don't get Malkus. Now, why is it that you don't get Malkus if you violate the Iser Hano? So the Chasdei David doesn't spell this out, but I would like to suggest something that I heard from my Rebbe, and that is that there's something called a Ikar Alav and something called a Lav Tofel. There's a primary Lav and a Lav Tofel, a secondary Lav. And this case of Bishol Basa B'Cholov, according to the interpretation of Chasdei David, is a classical case of a Lav Tofel. And the primary nafkamina between a Lav Ikar and a Lav Tofel is Malkus. In the case of a Lav Tofel, you get no Malkus. And he's talking now about the Iser Hano. Now, watch this.
Iser Hano Rabbanan.
No, wait, we're going to get to that in just a second. He's talking about the Iser Hano Doraisa of Basa Behema. You know, Basa Behema. So you cook Basa Behema, real meat, with milk, and you're not allowed to have Hano. That Lav is called a Lav Tofel, meaning you don't get Malkus. It's not really the Ikar Lav. When the Torah says we don't tolerate Basa B'Cholav, what the Torah really means is don't eat Basa B'Cholav. As a tag along, the Torah says don't have any benefit from it, but that benefit that you have is a secondary lav. It's called the lav tofel.
How do they get that? If the standard limit is off of the three times it says lo sevashel, it says three times to lo sevashel. Each one
right.
is as good as the other one.
Hanoh in general is called the lav tofel, because what is Hanoh? Is a secondary kind of achila, meaning when the Torah says we don't want you to enjoy the benefit of some object, whether it's bas v'cholav, whether it's kalaya kerem, orla, whatever yisuri I know you have, when the Torah is really saying we don't want you to have any achila from it, you know, it's achila is really the prime mode of hana when it comes to foodstuffs. Again, there are other yisuri I know like me'ila and so, but I'm not talking about that. But when talking about foodstuffs, the most profound hana that you could have from a foodstuff is consumption, is achila. There are other hanos, like feeding it to a dog, but that's just a nachshlepa, that's a secondary kind or form of achila. That's called a lav tofel. And that's the Rambam Shita in general, and the Rambam is in Machol Sasus, in Soriya Torah, that you don't get Malkus for a Lav Tofel, in this case, for Hanoah.
So that Doraisa you're talking about now.
That's all Doraisa. These are all Dinim Doraisa. The spin-off is going to be the Drabbanan, meaning when the Drabbanan are going to institute a Gzeran, an Iser of Oath, what they're going to do is they're going to focus all their attention on the Ikar Alav. And the Ikar Alav is Achila. And therefore the Rambam Shita is that they never prohibited Oath b'Hanoah. Why? Because Hano was not really what the Torah was interested in. Even though, again, there's an Isa Lav to be, not to be Nene from Bosa Behema B'Chola, but nevertheless, you don't get Malkus. If you don't get Malkus, it means it's a secondary, it's a different kind of Hano. It's qualitatively inferior to the primary Hano, which is Achila. And in such a case, the Rabbanan are not going to make a Gzera Harchoka to keep you away from what, even in the Torah's perspective, is only a Lav Tofel.
But where is the source to say that you don't get Malkus on a Lav D'Oraisa?
Yeah, there are many Lavim that don't get Malkus. For example, a Lav Hanitakla Esse doesn't
Malkus. Yeah, they have circumstances about them that pot is.
Correct.
Like,
and here too.
But what's the
here too, if the Lav is a Lav Tofel, meaning it's not really what the Torah prohibits, then you don't get Malkus. That's one of the rules of Malkus. That for a Lav Tofel, you don't get Malkus. Again, if we had time, we would research and study this concept of a Lav Tofel. Remind me, Belinetta, to do that, but okay. I don't want to get off too far off on a tangent. Right. I just want to point out that we can now justify why the Rambam came to the conclusion that when the Rabbanim made Xer to prohibit Basar Oaf, they only included Achila in that Iser, but not Hanah. Why? Because Hana is a Lav Tofel. And the Mishnah of Melech wants to suggest the following. I want to read to you the language of the Mishnah of Melech. He says, Ha deshari levashel of becholov. Why did the Rambam allow you to cook of becholov? Hu rak b'mevashel shelo haldas lechol el lehenos. This halacha that there's no isa bishul in Basar Of Bechalav, in the Rambam's frame of reference, is a spin-off. It's a result of the fact that the Rambam holds that there's no Isur Hanah in Basar Of Bechalav. And again, just to reiterate, why is the Rambam insisting that there's no Isur Hanah in Basar Of Bechalav? Because he holds that even on a Daraisa level, that's an Alav Tofel, it's not the Ikar Alav. Now, why should we be Matir Midrabanan? Again, we're talking of Bishul. And the answer is because the Bishul is no different, it's not better, it's not, or worse, depending on your perspective, from Hana itself. Meaning, what is Bishul? Bishul is also a kind of form of Hana, and it's a secondary form of Hana, it's not the real Hana. The real Makoy of Hana, as we said before, is Achila. And therefore, there's no difference between Bishul and, shall we say, feeding this to your dog, or giving it as a gift to your next door neighbor, your guy, who's going to give you another gift, you know, he's going to reciprocate. That's all the Lav Tofel. However, what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah Melech? He is suggesting that that only applies in the case of Mevashel Shalo Al Das Lechel. He has no... He's in a cooking class, okay? He's learning the culinary art. So he cooks, and he cooks chicken with milk. That's a Hana, which, like all the other Isuri Hana, all the other forms of Hana, is a Lav Tofel. As far as cooking for the sake of Achila is concerned, that the Rambam would agree is awesome. Again, this statement, the Rambam, I'm telling you, the Mishnah Melech is really going out on a limb here. Sure, in the Rambam, you won't find any zecher to this chiddush of the Mishnah Melech. But the Mishnah Melech wants to suggest that there are two definitions of Bishul in Basar Bechalav. Two qualitatively or two different characters of Bishul. One character of Bishul is really Hana. The other character of Bishul is Achila. When does Bishul become Hana? When does Bishul become Achila? It all depends. If your intention is just to enjoy the benefit of the Bishul, you know, you like to, you know, you're a cook. Yeah, you know, there are people who enjoy cooking. Men, women, both. Even children. So that's called Bishul as a subcategory tributary of Hana. It's like a tolda of the Av of Hana. Then there's a person who cooks because he wants to eat. That already puts Bishul into the category of Achila. And then Afkamina is going to be which Bishul is Mutter in Of Midrabot. When the Rambam said that Bishul is Mutter in Of, what he meant was the Bishul, which is an extension, if you will, of Hana. The Rambam insists that there's no Isur Hana in Basar Of, because Hana, as we said before, is Lav Tofel. And Bishul, when it's not connected to Achila, he's Shalal Das Lechol, that's already a different form of Hana, and that's going to be permissible with regard to Of. However, if he's cooking for the sake of eating, then that Bishul becomes a tolda, so to speak, of the Av of Achila. He's interested in Achila, and just like the Rabbanan prohibited Achila in the case of Of, they extended to include the Isur Bishul. Wow, it's a pretty radical chiddush of the Mishnah.
What would the Mishnah Melech say if, for instance, the situation is in between? In other words, he didn't l'chadchila want to be mevashel Of, Bsar Of with Chalav, but
somewhere along the line he changed his mind.
No, it fell in and it was not enough to be a bottle of Bashir, but he still wants the Of, so he continues cooking. He knows the milk fell in.
So then you get into other issues of how to define Bishul, meaning when he decided to be a Vashla, what state was it at? It was already half cooked?
Well, no, let's say it was less than Machaben.
No, if it was less than Machaben Josai, and everybody agrees that that would be an act of Bishul.
It's a Bishul, but even though, but when you're saying a definition,
let's say it shuts off the
fire. Al-Nas Lechol, no, when you're saying, when Mishnah Lamelech is saying Al-Nas Lechol, he didn't, even when it became a taruvus of Cholav and Basar Of, he still was not cooking it as Amanas Lechol. All he wants is the chicken. The stupid milk fell in, so he's willing to tolerate that the milk fell in. But he's not interested in cooking Basar Bechalav.
So that gets back to a different discussion that we once had about what does it mean to create Basar Bechalav? Does it mean that you're cooking the Basar and the Cholav? Or let's say that one of those two is already cooked, but the other one wasn't cooked. You remember that was a Taz and
Shah? Yeah, that's exactly right. But that's,
so your question might touch on that, meaning if, let's say, he's not interested in the Cholov, but he just wants to cook the meat, and the Cholov happens to be there because it fell in and it was no Bittul, is that considered Bishul Basar B'Cholov?
It's certainly, according to the Mishnah Lamelech, it's not Almanas Lechol. Because here's what
it's Almanas Lechol as a Basar, but not Lechol as a Tarobah Shal Basar B'Cholov.
Exactly. He's not, he doesn't have any intention to cook Basar B'Cholov.
Good question. So in any event, I want to share with you the Chassam Sofer. This Chassam Sofer really, really caught my fancy. There's a famous principle which is most commonly attributed to the Taz. Keep in mind, the Taz lived four centuries ago, less than four centuries. And yet, I don't know that anyone said this before the Taz. And this Taz might shed a light on the Rambam, who is Matir Bishul and Hanah in Basar Of. The Taz says the following, that the Rabbanan have the power that was, you know, granted to them by the Torah of Asus Yogla Torah, to institute Gzeiros, but there's a limit to how far the Rabbanan can go. And what's the barrier that they can't cross? When the Torah explicitly permits something, the Rabbanan can't prohibit it. If the Torah didn't say anything, if the Torah was neutral, unspoken, the unspoken word, then the Rabbanan could create a Gzeirah and Asus Yagla Torah, as the Mishnah said at the beginning of August. But if the Torah explicitly allows something, there was a permission granted, then the Rabbanan cannot ask for something which the Torah was mati.
Okay.
So again, when the Torah is mati something, it fits onto one of two categories. Either Mimela, automatically it's mutter because the Torah did, by process of elimination, the Torah didn't ask for it, so therefore it's mutter. But that's already what we call Shevi Altaseh. It's not explicit, it's implicit. And then there's something called an explicit heter, where the Torah went out of its way to say that the following is mutter. And in such a case, the Rabbanan cannot cross the bounds and create a siag, an exera, to ask for that which the Torah explicitly permitted. Now what does this have to do with our sugya? So that's the chiddush of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says the following, that when the Torah says Gidi, it means Behemah,
right,
to the exclusion of Oaf. And therefore we have a problem here. How could the Rabbanan prohibit Oaf when the Torah permits it? According to the Taz. Just wait, hold on. I want to first present the Chassam Sofer. You know, you're always one step ahead of me.
Yeah.
The Chassam Sofer wants to say the following. As far as Achila is concerned, the Torah never whispered a word about Achila. It's only derived, you know, through Yud Gimel Midas HaTorah and addressed them through Torah Shebaal Peh. Therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, let's read it inside, it's number Dalet. You have it, right?
Yeah. I guess we have it.
Dalet. You see what says Dalet? Yeah. He says, Al Pi HaTaz. Okay, if we have a chance, it'll be kedai to go through the Taz inside and see what the Taz has to say about it. But let's just say, in a general sense, the Taz says, "Ein Rabbanan Osir Mashat Torah Yitir Beferish." Right, the Rabbanan can't prohibit that which the Torah explicitly permitted. Al Kain Yachlu Rabbanan Lesser Achila. The Rabbanan have the ability with regard to Oaf to prohibit Achila. Came to Lo Mefurish B'Torah Lashon. The Torah never says a word about Achila. Ach. Lo yachlu less arbishal. The hands of the chachamim are tied behind their backs as far as the arbishal is concerned. Kevin shemefurish b'torah loshen lo sevashel umimenu hismait of. The Torah says lo sevashel gdi, and the Torah means by choosing the word gdi lafuki to the exclusion of basar of. So basar of is excluded by the Torah because the Torah added the word Gidi, and therefore, since the Torah says that you're not allowed to cook Gidi B'Cholov, implying that you're allowed to cook anything else but Gidi B'Cholov, it's as if the Torah had said specifically you're allowed to cook Oaf B'Cholov. Why? Because the word Gidi here is coming Lafuke Oaf. So if you take a look at the base Naftali, He writes the following. Ain't on the furish b'torah. It doesn't say explicitly in the Torah. Shebasar of b'chol of mutar. What is the Chassam Sofer batting about here? Exactly. If the Torah had said you're allowed to eat basar of b'chol. I'm sorry. If the Torah would have said you're allowed to cook basar of b'chol of, the Rabbanan can't ask that. But the Torah doesn't say you're allowed to cook basar of b'chol of. It says you're not allowed to cook basar behema b'chol of. But it never says anywhere that you're allowed, the Torah never gave express permission to cook of b'chol of.
Right. Correct.
He says the following. Again, this is a little bit of a backpedaling, you know, to try to defend that some sofer that came under mashmos ha-kosev he less or gedi v'lo of, since the implication of the pasuk is, when you read the word gedi, that the Torah is saying, I'm going to prohibit you from eating gedi, from eating behema, but not, I'm not going to say anything about oaf. Therefore, dummy ktsas, I would underline those two words. It's a little bit similar, you know, if you stretch it. L'mashe kosav ataz to rabbanu lo osu mashe tori tivu b'feshu. Hochi hutzuk rabbanu laso sekeiru v'lo lesor legamre.
That's a very, very, very dangerous thing, the path to take, because because that would allow, that would be that almost everything that the Rabbanan learned by way of a limud, you could say that the Torah is Mefarish saying that,
you have to add one proviso. It's not just a limud, but it's a limud that's mimashmos hakra.
But it's not so poshid mashmos hakra. First of all, besides being mimayit ov, it's mimayit trefa, it's mimayit chaya, it's mamayit a lot of things. It's not just oaf.
Right, but we only find an isur d'rabbanan with regard to oaf. Now the question is, according to the Chassam Sofer, how did the Rabbanan have the punch, you know, the punching power to prohibit oaf when the Torah says, at least in the Mashmos HaKra, that oaf is permissible?
Yeah, I hear.
So as far as Behemet Tveya and all the like is concerned, there's no issue because there's no isur d'rabbanan. But when they asked the oaf, that's a tremendous audacity on their part when the Torah allowed oaf. How could they do that? And the answer he's suggesting is because the Torah never explicitly permitted oaf, because the Torah never explicitly prohibited oaf in the case of Gedi.
Exactly, but that's...
I'm saying prohibit... Yeah. What did I just say? Backtrack, sorry.
I know
what I meant to say is the Torah never explicitly permitted achila in the case of oaf, because the Torah never prohibited achila explicitly in the case of behema. So there was never a mashmos hakra to permit achila. To permit achila if it's not gedi. The Torah never permitted achila because the Torah never mentioned achila. But the Torah did single out bishul explicitly, and therefore the implication is that if it's not gedi, it's mutav bishul. And the Rabbanan therefore could not overstep their bounds and prohibit bishul.
Can you give me a mashal? Can you give me a mashal of a straightforward case where the Torah permitted something?
So for that, I need you to bring two svarim for me, if you can, from behind this wall. One is the Orach Chaim, the last volume of Orach Chaim. And again, if you could bring me the real Orach Chaim, you know, Shulchan, not the Mishnah Berurah, so we can see the Taz inside.
Okay.
And Yoredeya, the volume that has Kuf Yud Zayin in it, which is probably the second volume of Yoredeya.
I think so. Yeah.
So see if you could do that. In the meantime, I'm just going to give a little bit of review for myself of the two approaches to understand the Rambam. Again, we're trying to understand why the Rambam says that the Gzeiras Chachamim of Oaf is limited to Achila, and it doesn't apply to Bishul, it doesn't apply to Hanah. And the first approach that we gave is the approach of the Chasdei David, that the Iser Hanah is a Lav Tofel, and Bishul is a subcategory of Hanah. Since it's a Lav Tofel, the Rabbanu never made Gzera to include, to prohibit the Lav Tofel. They only made Gzera for the Iker Alav, which is Achim. Then we have the approach of the Chassam Sofer, who says that the Rambam understood that since the Torah in the Pasuk Gedi is implying that it's permissible to cook oaf, therefore the Chachamim did not have the ability to prohibit cooking oaf. Okay? If I can just trouble you, maybe Jeff, you don't mind joining us in this effort here. What do you have, and what do you have?
That's your idea. This is our idea.
Okay, so if you have Or Chaim, if you could open up to Tov Kuf Pei Ches. Kuf Pei Ches. And see if you can find the Taz Os Hey.
Yeah.
And in your idea, you're looking in Kuf Yud Zion, and it should be the Taz number Aleph. And we'll see what we can find. But just before that, I want to point out that the Kesef Mishnah says that the Iser Bishul is Eino Osir Machmas Atzmo, and the whole nature of the Iser Bishul is Mishushu Mevili De'achila. It means that the Kesef Mishnah wants to apply, he wants to activate the rule of Gzeira Sha'asaso HaTorah L'dvarem. Have you ever heard that rule? The original source for that rule is Avos de Rabbi Nosson, which is a brisa on Mishnah Avos, and he says that there is such a thing as the Torah itself making a gzera. And the Kesef Mishnah applies that to Bishul Bas Mechol. Bishul Bas Mechol, says the Kesef Mishnah, this is a very, very chutzpahdika statement, is only a gzera. Although it's a Torah gzera, it's a doraisa, he's not denying that. That's a pasuk in Chumash, right? That repeats itself thrice. But what the Torah had in mind was exer, if we allow you to do bishul and prepare the food, you'll inevitably eat the food. But the real concern, the gufo shalisur machmas atzmo, is achila. And therefore, when the Rabbanan want to institute an iser in the case of Ov, that iser is going to be a gzera otu, not a gzera shal Torah, but the gufo and atzmuso shal iser Torah, which is achila. They're not going to prohibit bishul, because even bishul behema Doraisa is only a siag. You know, by the way, when I tell you that the Torah itself made a siag for its own prohibitions, what do you think of? No, what I'm asking you is to write the text of the Avos de Rabbi Nosson without looking it up. What Iser in the Torah would serve as a paradigm that the Torah itself makes a gzera?
Yeah.
The officer of Nosson has two cases, if I remember correctly. Sorry, you're not going to come up with it, so I'll just give it to you. One is lo yiravli matzin chametz, that you're not allowed to have any chametz in your prohibition, according in your possession, which according to the officer of Nosson is a gzera shel Torah atu achila, which is an isakarius. And number two, yichud. That a man and a woman are not allowed, according to all Rishonim, except for the Rambam. The Rambam calls it different Kabbalah, but all Rishonim unanimously hold that the Isa Yichud with an Erva is Do'oraisa, and the Avos de Rabbi Nosson claims that that's a Siag Atu Gili Arayis. Now we're adding a third Isa according to the Kesef Mishnah, which is not explicit in Avos de Rabbi Nosson, that's Lo Savashal Gedi B'Chalevimo. That was a siag which the Torah instituted in order to guarantee that you wouldn't come to eat basar b'chol. Right, do we have the Taz? Do we find the Taz?
I think it's Taz.
Kuf Pei Ches. This is Hey. So we'll just turn a few pages.
Kuf Pei Ches.
Yes. Kuf Pei Ches. And we're going to look for the Taz number Hey. And let's see if we find such a thing. Here's the Taz, it's number Hey, so it's probably...
This is Pei Zayin. Pei Vav.
Pei Vav. That's why I said Pei Vav.
I thought you said Pei Ches.
Oh, Pei Ches, I'm sorry. Pei Ches number...
Hey.
Number Hey, good.
There's one more.
This one, second. Hey. Okay. Hey. Should Shemi Yitlan be all in the book of Ziksha Mizrahi... Migzar Shemi Yisakim Klishir. Yes, I the cold shofar the nitan. Yishol Mitzvah Kilo goes in there. Oh, Grimo the Tars. The Eilah and Ligzar Volakar Legami Divrei Torah Shet Sipsa Liskoa Biyom Zeh.
What is he talking about on Shabbos?
No, it's the Torah said that you have to blow the shofar even on Shabbos.
Right.
The Rabbanan cannot completely prohibit blowing shofar on Shabbos.
So to avoid that, but they did.
Well, maybe he's, I didn't read the whole Taz, but anyway, that's, you'll go through the Taz if you can.
Okay.
What does he say over there, Kuf Yud Zayin in Yerodea? Let's see if we can find this here. Kol Dav Shas Min HaTorah Af Al Pi Shem Mutav Ano Afuki Nishan Shrash Matam Zer Shav Yovo Lech Omehem Shodim Gadlan Lech Nishan Shrash Matam Zer Shav Yovo Yisad Do Raisa Nizdam Zer Zu Shehatorah Asra Mishum Zer. It's a pretty long Taz. He says the following, Nir Litaritz, and then we'll go back and see his kasha. The Ein Koch Biat Chachomim Lesa Dover Shepirsha Torah Beferish Leheter. The Ein Koch Biat Chachom Lahachmir El Bemokum Sheein Bo Isur Velo Heter Beferish Min HaTorah. Masheinkim Bemokum Sheish Heter Beferish Min HaTorah is Vizeo Bechlal Mamorim Shomati Shebezano Yimakim Ve'on Sheshlom and Adin Lo Lavral Devitzel Zas Siag Litoru. Do you hear what he's saying? Why didn't the Rabbanah make a gzera of Hana in Nevelus and Trefus? Right? Why didn't the Rabbanah say you can't sell Nevelus because you'll end up eating it or something like that? Again, I don't know all the details of how he...
Right.
And the answer is because the Torah explicitly says, Lakelev, Tashlich and Oso. So when the Torah was Mefarish that it's Mutter, the Rabbanah don't have the power to ask. That's...
Okay.
Again, if we had more
That's
time...
That's a good one. That's a good... That I understand.
Yeah.
This I don't understand so far.
In any event, that's the Chasam Sofer, and that's the Chesef Mishnah. And now I want to share with you the insight of Ma'ari Shapira. Do you remember we mentioned him like about a week ago? So he also has something to say about the Rambam. And he says the following, Achila Mitsuya Ubishal Vahna Eino Motzli. He's saying that it's not common practice to cook meat and milk, or to feed such a combination to your dog. It's common practice to eat meat and milk. I guess if you were in McDonald's and you were ordering a cheeseburger, that would be pretty commonplace, I suppose. Right? That's why you have to be very careful when you pass by a McDonald's or anything of the like, that you don't enjoy the smells of it. I used to walk every Shabbos morning from Kew Garden Hills... From Hollywood to Kew Garden Hills and back. And you pass a McDonald's. And one time I was just overwhelmed by the smell. And from that time on, I crossed the street. And I never walked by that McDonald's. Because it could very well be that the smell that I'm enjoying is Bas B'Cholov. But in any event, he says that Bas B'Cholov is relatively rare, relative to Achila. And Achila is commonplace. And therefore, when the Rabbanon made a gzera, they always write what's called a gzera de shchicha. Masher shchicha gozru bei Rabbanon. Milsal shchicha lo gozru bei Rabbanon. And therefore, they prohibited achila according to the Rambam. And once they prohibit achila, they could say that bishul is mutter, hanah is mutter, because that's already a milsa de lo shchicha lo gozru bei Rabbanon. Imagine someone cooking of becholov when he can't even eat it. And he can't... Right? And he can't benefit. So why would a person do such a thing? The answer is that it's uncommon. The Lecha Mishnah wants to say that achila is called taiva. Achila is something that you really desire. Mm-hmm. And therefore, since you love to eat something, you may somehow allow yourself to cross the bounds here. And therefore the Rabbanim made an Isur that you're not allowed to eat of Becholov. But Bishul Vana, that's not called a Taiva.
Right.
Now, yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Your mouth is watering.
Is this mine or yours?
It's yours.
Oh, yeah.
But the Hana from cooking... That's a different thing.
That's why the Rabbanan aren't afraid that a person might, you know, start benefiting from Basar B'Cholov. It's not such a draw. So again, Rabbanan, so we have five different answers, explanations to the question as to why the Rambam insists that Basar Of the Rabbanan is Mutavach B'Bishol U'B'Hanah. And that's all on one side of the scale. On the other side of the scale, we have the Bach. And the Bach insists that even the Rambam agrees that the Iser of Oaf applies not only to Achila, but straight across the board to Bishol and Hanah as well. Either Rambam says explicitly in Perek Tes Hilchos Machlokes said, but the Basar Oaf is Mutter to Bishol and Hanah. He says the Rambam is talking on a Doraisa level. Midoraisa it's Mutter to Bishol and Hanah, but certainly Midorabbanan it's also to Bishol and Hanah. The question on the Bach is, so why did the Rambam mention that there's an Iser Bishol and Hanah in the Oaf? The Rambam nowhere whispers such a thing. So he says that the Rambam in general doesn't have to spell out things. Ein dakol afarish din shalom nispar b'talmud v'furash. The Rambam doesn't spell out something unless it's explicit in the Talmud. That, in other words, the Rambam wrote the Mishnah Torah in order to copy extract the main laws that are codified by the Talmud. There's nothing in the Talmud about basar oaf with regard to bishol and hanah. Therefore, the Rambam didn't mention it. Very, very, very strange Bach. But I'm mentioning the Bach because he's the only one that insists that even the Rambam agrees that basar oaf becholav is also not only in achila but also in bishol and hanah as well.
The Taz over here in the Rosh Hashanah and Tzkiyah Shofar says the reason that they were able to Tzkiyah Shofar for Shabbos, he said, because the mitzvah is only litzkoa lishem mitzvah, and since their Iser is a general Iser that you're not allowed to do it because you can liislamed. So since it's liislamed, it was not directly lishem mitzvah, they were able to aser it.
And then he's looking for some sort of justification.
It's a little
why? But why is he so bothered by this gzera derava of not blowing shofar on Shabbos? The answer is because he holds the Torah commanded us to blow shofar. How could the Rabbanan grab away, deny us of something which the Torah gave us?
And then he changes tracks a little bit, and he goes from a different aspect, and he says, well, the only thing they're not allowed to aser, that the Torah, if there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, they cannot say sheva al taisa on a mitzvah d'oraisa and mavatel it le'olam. The Shah, they can do it.
A temporary basis.
But since Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos only once in a while, so therefore it's not legamri, and therefore it'd be mutter for them to do that.
Right.
All right, anyway.
Okay, now we want to look at Rabbi Akiva. Okay, then. So Rabbi Akiva, you'll see on the bottom left of your page 2. Do you see that? It starts with Osel Levashel Becholov.
Page 2, the bottom left.
Let me just see.
Yeah, there it is, right
there. There it is. I'm not counting this. This is already a different page. All right. Okay.
Rabbi
Akiva here,
yes.
Now, Rabbi Akiva wants to suggest something pretty way out. Let's say milk falls into a pot of meat that's cooking on the fire. Okay? If the ratio between the milk and the meat is less than 1 to 60,
right?
So there's no bittul b'shishim, then it's osur mishum basar b'chol. Okay. What about the halach of bittul b'rov? You're telling me that you didn't get shishim and therefore it's osur. But you definitely had rov. I mean, how much was in the tipas chol of keneged basar? What about the din of bittul b'rov?
Oh. With bin shayamina.
Yeah, so he wants to suggest Rabbi Kveger. Let's read it inside. He says, Kol echad mutu b'fnei atzum v'tarvasa masura lo shayach bittul b'rov. The only time you can talk about bittul b'rov is when you have a battle, a collision, a clash between Iser and Heter. If two things are both mutter, then there's no concept of bittul b'rov.
Good gezeirah.
Like, for example, you can take sewing needles and safety pins and mix them up in a tarobos. There's no din of bittul b'rov.
Right.
Even if you have majority safety pins, the other pins are not bought. Why? Because it's head to head. The cancer of bittul only applies when there's a conflict.
Right. Okay. God, that's right.
Says the Rabbi Meir, the essence of basar v'chalav, according to many Rishonim, is heter v'heter. What is unique about basar v'chalav is that you take heter with heter, the chalav itself is with the basar itself, and your combination thereof engenders something that's awesome. In such a case, there's no bittul v'rov. Oh. Then Rabbi Kiveka goes a step further. Nu, if you're willing to suspend the halacha of bittul v'rov in basar v'chalav, why not suspend the halacha of bittul v'shishim as well? Mm-hmm. Meaning, there's one concept of bittul which subdivides into different categories. You know, there's bittul v'rov, bittul v'shishim, but whatever it is, once you mafkia the din of rov of bittul, excuse me, with regard to rov, because zeheter b'fnei atzmo, zeheter, we should be mafkia. We should null and void the halacha of bittul v'shishim as well. So here, Rav Kiveka says something absolutely brilliant. He wants to suggest that in the case of bittul v'shishim, in basar v'chalav, it's not your classical halacha of bittul. It's a new halacha. And what is that halacha? Derech bishul asur Torah. The Torah only prohibits basar v'chalav because it came through bishul. If there's shishim against the chalav, he says, then there's no nesinas tam, meaning you can theoretically, again, I don't want to get into this whole issue, but you can theoretically give this meat over to a kfela, a guy who's a chef, will taste, he'll tell you there's no taste of milk there. Again, I don't want to go into details
because
It's complicated, but let's just say, if there's no nesinas tam, says Rav Kiveka, that's not bishul. To be mevashal A plus B means that there's an interchange of tam. If there's no interchange of tam, then it's not bishul. It doesn't constitute, it doesn't qualify as bishul. The reason why bittul v'shishim operates is not because of the classical well-trodden path of bittul. Bittul can't work in two things that are heter. One heter cannot be mevatel another heter. But the hafka, it's a hafka of bishul itself. Bishul requires the sinas tam, meaning the prerequisite for bishul is not just that you put something in the fire and, you know, in the pot and turn on the fire. That's not bishul. Bishul means tam. The tam has to change. If there's no impact in the tam, that doesn't qualify as bishul. Let's look at it inside. It's a brilliant chiddush. Wait, I just want to, if you give me a minute, Alan, because otherwise it's too much. Right. This Rabbi Kiveka is the most radical, revolutionary thing that I've seen, and you're lucky that you come 2 o'clock, because the earlier she had missed this, you know. And he says the following. He says his topic. Rabbi Kiveka has the following stuff. Lefi das harishonim, which is Tosfos, the Rosh. And other Rishonim, he says, that what is basar v'chalav, what's unique about it, is kol echad mutar b'fnei atzmo. He says, lo shayach bittul v'rov. Ay, v'hod d'sharik she'eino no seitam, which is called bittul v'shishim. Mishum de derech bishal asur tov, v'kein boi nesinas tam. Is if that be the case, then what about the principle of ein mevatlin isur l'chatchila? Oh, Rabbi, I'm telling you, you can make a birchas ha'nenim on this, Rabbi Kiveka. Rabbi Kiveka says the following. There's a principle called ein mevatlin isur l'chatchila. Ein mevatlin isur l'chatchila means you cannot create bittul. You cannot actively create bittul. Says Rabbi Kiveka, I'm not actively creating bittul. What I'm doing is I'm being mafkia the bishul. There's no bishul over here. So what's the problem in adding more meat or more milk, depending upon which it is, in order to get to shishim? All I'm trying to do is undermine the bishul. I'm arresting and freezing the process of bishul. Freezing bishul, that's interesting. Right there, antinomies, right? And that doesn't come under ein mevatlin isur. I'm not taking the chol and I'm being mevatel it. What I'm doing is I'm saying that this chol, insofar as it doesn't give tam in the basar, is not undergoing a process of bishul. And if there's no bishul, there's no isur to talk about. That's Rabbi Kiveka's unbelievable chiddush. Why can't I be mevatel chol and basar l'chatchila? He says, Ha'im mutal levatel iser basar b'chol v'chatchila kevan she'eno midin bittul el deleka klal iser. Why? Because there's no bishul. Therefore, it should be mutter. Oh, dilma perhaps lo plug rabbanon. Technicality, what we call it in football, in basketball, technical foul. what's the technical foul here? The Rabbanu couldn't make a chilk and say, well, for all the Isurim in the Torah, 99 out of 100 is aim of Vatal Isur Chatkhila. But with regard to Basav Achol, we're going to look the other way. We're going to allow to be Mavatal Isur Chatkhila. That's called a low plume. Right. It's just a mechanical halacha. And basically, Rabbi Kivega leaves this as an open-ended question. And if you look on the next page, just one second, which the first word is with Vahochiach. Do you have such a thing? I think it's on the same page. Vahochiach midivrei haramah. Oh, maybe you have it on a different page.
It is on the next.
Yeah, Vochiach. You don't have Vochiach? Look, yeah. Alan, what does it say? Vochiach?
Vochiach.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a continuation of Kivei. Yeah,
first part.
Okay. Vochiach midivrei haramah vashach kitzad sheni, meaning that we apply low pluk.
Right.
So Rav Osai, the whole deal of Ein Mevatlin, Isur L'Chatchil, and Bas B'Chol is all Mishum low pluk.
Right.
That's like mind-boggling.
Right.
That is fundamentally, we should allow you to be Mevatl, Bas B'Chol.
I want to attack Rabbi Kivayger's first premise, that is, since there's no Isur L'Chatchil, that you don't
apply. What do you mean that Basar and Cholov are both mutter?
Since they're both mutter, so therefore right. There's no din of beetle.
Yeah, but I'm listening.
The first tipa that falls into the of Cholov that falls into the Basar, there's no consideration yet of whether it's a beetle or not, but it mixes with at that moment with some Basar, right, and creates Basar B'Cholov. Okay. Now that tipa is now a Dover Yisr.
Correct.
Since it's a Dover
Yisr.
But that tipa is now you have a Dover Usr mixing with a Dover Mutter.
Correct, but that's only because you've created a new tam here. In other words, when I eat this, I'm not tasting meat, I'm not tasting milk, I'm tasting some new combination thereof. Says Rabbi Kivager, if this shishim, let's say the chalav is 1 and the meat is 61, so it's the shishim, then it's not pshat the way you and I understand that it's bittel, that the milk is bottle. That's not it. The milk doesn't get the tam of the meat, or the meat doesn't get the tam of the milk. That's not bishul. The precondition for Basar B'Chol is bishul, and you never allowed this combination to undergo a process of bishul because there was no nesinas tam. Therefore, Rav Kibbeke says you could be mavatel l'chatchila because it's not really bittul. You use the word bittul, but that's not the right jargon. You are misappropriating the terminology bittul here. If you call it bittul, it's not bittul. It means it's no nesinas tam, and if there's no nesinas tam, there's no bishul. So you never cook meat and milk together, because the precondition for cooking is nesinas tam.
But that's the end.
Pretty fascinating. No?
But is that true?
I mean, that's got to be the most revolutionary thing I've seen since we started learning Basar B'Chol. You know.
But is that? But he gets to that point by making the first definition that bishul is only if it's no same tam.
Right. That's something that we could analyze. Yeah. You know, how does Rabbi Kivega know that every bishul requires the nesinas tam? You know, that's something that we have to really analyze. For example, and now we come back to an old sugi that we learned together, ein bishul achar bishul. What happens if I re-cook Basar B'Chol the second time around?
Right.
That's not nesinas tam. The tam was already given.
Do I violate
bishul? According to Rabbi Kivega, there's no violation of bishul. Not because of ein bishul achar bishul. Forget about ein bishul achar bishul.
Right.
There's no bishul because there's no nesinas tam. And as Rabbi Kivega know that. Maybe we could say that bishul is a maisa bishul, even without nesinas tam. When you put two things in the pot over the fire, that constitutes bishul. With nesinas tam, without nesinas tam. I'll give you an example. Let's say, if I would propose to you the following two premises, both of which are highly questionable. Number one, the gira nosha is basar.
Right.
And number two, the gira nosha has no tam.
Right.
Then, what happens if I take gira nosha and I cook it with milk? Again, gira nosha is basar, but it has no tam.
Right.
It's not according to Rabbi Kivega. If it has no tam, there's no misses tam, there's no bishul, and therefore there's no basar b'chol. Without Rabbi Akiva Eger, I would have said it's enough that there's a Maisa Bishul with or without Nesinas Tam, and it's Basar and it's Cholov. So I have Basar because Gid is Basar. I have Cholov because Cholov is Cholov. I have Bishul because I turned the fire underneath this concoction, and there's no Nesinas Tam because I ain't beginning but don't say Tam. It's like according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, it would not be a violation of Nesinas Bishul, which means that if you ate this combination afterwards, or you fed it to your dog, you would not violate any bishul.
There is no
Nesinas. Yeah, if you had Iser, get a nosh, I'm not denying that. But the Torah is possible to call, there would be no Iser. Why not? There was bishul. Well, Rabbi Akiva Eger says there's no Nesinas Tam.
There is Nesinas Tam. No, in that case, there is Nesinas Tam. There's Nesinas Tam with the Cholov. The Cholov is no same time.
The Cholov is not saying Tam in the Gidin, you think?
Yeah, well, it's...
I don't know. Okay, I didn't get into that. You're right. Maybe you're right. I mean, you may have caught me on the tech. I don't know.
Taste, yeah.
But again, I'm just using this L'Saber to open. Right. If you had Cholov that had no Tam, let's say if you found such a thing,
all right.
What would be then? You know, I'm just saying, if it was Cholov and it's Basa without Tam, or what else can I say? Let's say, for example, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, let's say I have a treif pot.
Right.
Okay. How did this pot become treif? At 9 a.m. this morning, I cooked meat in it, and 10 a.m. I cooked milk in it.
Right.
The pot is treif. Yes. Now I take power of a kosher meat, and I cook it in the same pot on the same day. That's called a basyom.
Kosher meat.
No, let's say I take kosher meat,
yeah,
and I cook it in this pot. Yeah. This pot is treif.
Right.
Okay. So I would have said, the following, that in such a case you don't violate the Issur Bishul Basar B'Cholov. Why? Because that's not called an active bishul. You put meat into the pot, you didn't put milk into the pot.
Right.
Rabbi Akiva Eger would say that that's bishul. Why? Because it's Nesinas Tam. Because when I cook in a pot, the Tam HaBalu in the pot enters into the meat. And therefore it might constitute a violation of an Issur D'Oraisa. The truth is that the Ramah seems to indicate that this Rebbe Kiveg is correct, because the Ramah says that you should never go into the house of a guy,
right,
yeah, and stir the pot,
right,
because you never know, there might be possible cholov in the pot.
Right.
So if we assume that the Ramah is talking about possible cholov bolua in the pot, that it was a ben yomo,
right.
So it would seem that the Ramah is holding that that tam bolua that comes into the cooked food in a pot is considered bishul basar b'cholov, which makes sense according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, because Rabbi Akiva Eger holds that bishul equals nesinas tam.
Yeah, but surely, the thing is, surely the nosing tam for bolua is going to be less than shishim.
Well, not necessarily. Let's say I cook a small amount, just the kezias of basar in this gigantic pot.
Yeah, but the pot.
Let's say I filled up the pot with meat.
Yeah.
Right. Cooked the meat. Poured the meat out of the pot. Filled up the pot with cholov.
Right.
And now I cook a kezias basar in this pot.
Wait a minute. You already filled it with milk.
No, I'm saying the following. I cook three times in this pot.
Oh, three times. Okay.
Once I cook to the top meat, the other cook to the top milk.
Right.
The whole pot is balua with the same volume of meat and milk. Now I take an empty pot, the same pot,
yeah,
and I cook it in a kezias of basar.
Yeah, but how much is that? But the balua is not the same amount that was originally cooked in.
Well,
the
answer to that question is it is. But you and I don't know how that works. That's just one of the technical halachic rules.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. The volume of tam balua is equal to the volume that you cooked in the pot.
Really?
The reason for that is because tam ki ikar works in a whole different way than you and I think. Our minds have been poisoned to think that tam is what you and I think tam is. That's not what tam is. Tam is a chefza. It's a chal shev iser b'fnei atzmo, tam ki ikar. But okay, that's not for us now. That's more for tarovos. I'm just saying that what I want to leave with you for, you know, something to think about is this Rabbi Akiva Eger, who understands that bittul is an inoperative concept with regard to basar b'cholov. There is no such thing as bittul in basar b'cholov.
Is there only basar b'cholov?
What there is in basar b'cholov is hafkas bishul. If there's no nesinas tam, Rabbi Akiva Eger says that's mafkir the chal shem bishul, and therefore it's not basar b'cholov. It has nothing to do with bittul, and Rav Kivek is so convinced by his logic that he thinks he should be allowed to add whatever volume of meat you need to offset the shishim, you know, to get shishim against the cholov. There's no violation of Eivavat L'Nisa Chathchila. At the end, he says it's also anyway because of Lung Plug. You know. But again, yeah, Lung Plug is right. A little, you know, that's always the... Yeah. Lung Plug is like the cop-out position. Right. You know, you have no choice. So why not call it Lung Plug?
But he only holds this by Basav Achala. He doesn't...
Only by Basav Achala. But it's just fascinating. You know, this concept that Basav Achala is unique... We saw in the Taz with regard to Chatich and Asas Nevela. That's why the Taz believes that that if you take Basa Mehema Tmeya and you cook it with Cholav, it's impossible to call that Basa Mechalav. Because by definition, it can't be Basa Mechalav. Basa Mechalav means Zehet Mefneatzmo, Vezehet
Mefneatzmo. Right,
but it was already Basa Tmeya or it was Cholav Tomei. It can't be. So in that context, which we discussed in the Yardesh year, I don't know how many weeks ago, on a Tuesday night or Wednesday night, whatever it is, Wednesday night. That concept, I think, is seeing its reflection here in this Rav Kivega. That Rav Kivega holds that Basav Chol is unique in the constellation of Machalas Asus, Dafka, because Zehet of Neatzmo, Zehet of Neatzmo, and therefore he claims Bittul can't possibly apply to Basav Chol. There's no such thing as being Mevatel two things at a hand. Now, I'm not saying everyone agrees with this, Rabbi Kibbeik. I mean, we really have to study this. There's a famous Shach. The Shach is in Choshen Mishpat, of all places. The Shach wants to know if, let's say, one of your safety pins falls into my bag of safety pins. Okay. And there's a Shach of Gzela here. If I don't return, if I appropriate that safety pin for myself, the Shach wants to know, can we apply the Din of Bittul? And he goes back and forth whether Bittul applies to Didi Mamonis. You see one thing from the Shach that Bittul applies even to Heter Meheter. But again, that's a concept that's, you know, way out. Okay, Rabosai, I'll thank you again for coming at this hour.
Thank you very much.
And Mr. Hashem, we should be Zocha to a Gemara Chasima Tova, you know. If you know of anyone else who...